We may not understand what is meaning of Hare Krishna, but still, because it is transcendental sound, it is auspicious. Wherever you chant Hare Krishna, they may hear or they may not hear, it is auspicious for them. So we are sending our man for street sankirtan. It doesn't matter whether people are eager to hear it or not, but it is auspicious. It will create an atmosphere which is very, very congenial to the human society. That should be our principle. Not that because we are chanting, nobody is taking care, we shall not be disappointed. Our, this Sankirtan movement is so nice that simply by chanting, the vibration will create an auspicious atmosphere. Very honest of people. Now, you can practically see those who are old members. So I began in this New York, in that storefront, simply by chant. So, I did not bribe you American boys and girls to come after me. This only asset was chant. That Tomkinson, this Brahmananda Swami, he first came to dance with my chant. He and Achyutananda, that was the first dancing of our Krishna conscious movement. Yes. And I had no mridangas. That was a, what is that? Little drum. So I was chanting Hare Krishna for from 2 to 5, 3 hours. And so many boys and girls were coming and joining. And there was first photograph in the Times, New York Times. They appreciated. And people also appreciated. So this chanting, the beginning was only chanting. There was no nothing more. At that time there was no program of prasad distribution. That later on it came. So, we should always be confident that this chanting is not a vibration of this material world. This is not vibration of material. Narottam Das Thakur says, Golokera Premo Dhana Hari Nama Sankhi. It is imported from the spiritual world.
Was create an atmosphere of auspiciousness, and of course that atmosphere of auspiciousness affected the hearts of many, and some specifically dedicated themselves to Srila Prabhupada. So along this idea of in the beginning, we can often think of in the beginning as the material creation in the beginning. But there's something before that beginning. According to the Bible, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who knows what the original language said, but that's the popular King James version of the statement, in the beginning. This is so before creation. And in our Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva says something very similar, but it's more comprehensive. Some of you are familiar with this verse, Aham Evasam Evagre. This is the first of the four essential verses, Chatur Shloki verses, of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam is an expansion of that message, those four verses. This was specifically the circumstance of this verse is Brahma, before the creation of the sub-creation of the universe, so that it begins, Ahamivasam Evagre, very often quoted shloka. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find the very same language is there in several places later on in the Bhagavatam, but you might want to look at it later. Here's the translation. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be aham. So he's, Krishna is stating to Brahma, and the Bhagavatam is elaborating. Krishna is everything. He's the source of everything. Everything comes from him, so it's connected to him, so it's his, or in another sense, him, and he exists after the cosmic annihilation. So that's what's in the beginning. And then, after the creation, there's the living entity. Jeez. Down here. And he's leaving the spiritual world and heading for the material creation. Free will misused. And here's what Jiva Goswami writes about this in the beginning. The Krishna Bahirmukha or Bahirmukha Jiv, he uses both phrases. Bahir means away or outside. Krishna Bahirmukha, Mukha means face, turning your attention away from Krishna. And with that, a jiva who has become inimical to Krishna and has then fallen into the grasp of Maya since time immemorial is in the state of bondage to material existence. That's a problem, because once you're in material existence, it's very difficult to get out of material existence. And different ideas are there how to get out of material existence, but it's a problem. And so a natural question is then how to restore our forgotten relationship with Krishna. That's wanted. How to do that? So there's the beginning of devotional service. And according to Rupa Goswami's teachings, the beginning is some preliminary faith. Here's what Jiva Goswami writes in his Sandarbhas. The nine processes of bhakti begin with faith in a Purusheya Shabda. And without one's having too much material attachment or detachment. So we're going to expand on this. But this is a statement from Tattva Sandarbha. It comes from Rupa Goswami's Adau Shraddha, the stages of bhakti. This is Jiva Goswami explaining it. It begins with faith in a Purusheya Shabda. So what's a Purusheya Shabda? That's an important question. It's revealed knowledge from a superhuman source It originated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is received in disciplic succession from a bona fide guru. A Purusheya Shabda is therefore the perfect pramana, means evidence, because it is free from the four defects. So this Apurusheya is distinct from Purusha. Purusha, used in this sense, is the living entity in the material world has four defects. So Apurusheya is one who is beyond those four defects. So who's that? That's Krishna. So Apurusheya Shabda is sound Shabda that comes from a source that's beyond defects. That's Krishna. One who has faith in that Apurusheya Shabda, which includes the name, or in the beginning it's the name. Some people are less attracted to the name and more attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and some people vice versa, less attracted and more attracted to the name. But in any case, both are Apurusheya Shabda, sound vibration. Our whole process of reawakening our forgotten relationship with Krishna is resting upon sound from that source. Jiva Goswami goes on. In the beginning, that's our theme, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This Shraddha, preliminary desire for self-realization, this will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. I'm going to illustrate this just for interest's sake. I had a really nice experience when visiting in Chengdu. I never heard of the place before I went there. And it's a long story, but keeping the long story short, I was invited to speak at a yoga studio by the yoga studio owner, who was a middle-aged woman, really sharp woman, and really, her light was on, in short. She wasn't just a business lady. She was spiritually inclined. So three classes, and then she liked what she heard, so she requested some time, so with a translator present, of course. She shared something. And the thing that she shared was, since I was a small girl, I always had this sense that there's a mission in my life. And somebody came along and said, do well in school. So I did really well in school. And then I got this realization that that's not my mission in life. So then somebody said, make money. So I made a lot of money. And then I realized, that's not my mission in life. Then somebody suggested, be a leader. So I became a leader and was really successful being a leader. And then I realized, that's not my ultimate mission in life. And then this idea came saying, serve other people. So I've been serving other people, and there's a happiness there, but that's not my mission in life. So what's next? Wow. And I said, know who you are. That's your mission in life. It's the beginning of your mission in life. You can't go to the next stage without knowing who you are. How can you be a leader and how can you be fulfilling your mission in life without knowing who you are? And you like Bhagavad Gita over here as somebody that knows Bhagavad Gita, and study with this devotee that knows Bhagavad Gita. And then it'll help you realize who you are. And you know, you've peeled off some layers of who you're not. And many people are stuck with who they're not. But they don't really know who they are. Because something that she, then I repeat, it's something that she said during one of the classes without the detail. My staff here was 35 persons, mostly ladies, some men. They're in anxiety because they don't really know what is happiness. They're pursuing something that they think is happiness, and happiness doesn't come, and so they're in anxiety. I think the real problem is they don't know what real happiness is. But, you know, she didn't know either. But you know, at least she knew that she didn't know. That's a big start. If you think that you know, it's tough to help somebody that thinks they know. And if you find somebody that knows they don't know and they want to know, that is a big head start. And then the responsibility of somebody that's meeting such a person is at least to take this upodusheya shabda sound vibration and repeat it transparently. Even better is how much you have realized that yourself. Then you can be a transparent instrument of that message. But even if you're, as Prabhupada's words, even if you're imperfect, repeat the words. Repeat that sound, just like kirtan or japa or the holy name as festival of the holy name or the message of scripture. And try to connect with that sound and keep trying and keep trying. So then Rupa Goswami goes on from that adau shraddha, sadhu sangha. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by the spiritual master, and under the instruction, under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. I'm sure most, if not all of you, know the sequence. This is Rupa Goswami's teachings, the references at the top. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the instruction of the spiritual master is engaging the neophyte in the process of devotional service. Jiva Goswami has commented on this. Atakshi Krishna Namadi. This is actually Rupa Goswami's verse. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. Let's say it together. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Hijavadao Svayameva Sparatyada. It's quoted in many places because it's so important. And one of those places, it's in Bhagavad Gita, several places. Here's one of them, the translation. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. So the beginning is the beginning, and then becoming absorbed. And of course, it begins with the name, Namadi. Namadi, Adi, he's beginning with the name. Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse of Rupa Goswami is, in this case, Nama means the nine processes of bhakti, the nine direct processes of bhakti. But it begins with name, but it's all the nine processes. So the chanting of the holy name awakens, what is it? It awakens the propensity, the dormant propensity to be in Krishna's service and then keep going. The propensity to want Krishna's pleasure only, and then it matures. But that's what the bhakti that's awake, asleep, becomes awakened our original Krishna consciousness becomes awakened, wanting to be in Krishna's service, always. And what, so when one is always absorbed in the nine different ways, then the absolute nature, the transcendental nature, the Krishna reveals himself. Until then, it's sadhana. But under the guidance of the spiritual master, beginning with the name and the other processes, one takes up sadhana bhakti. And gradually, with submission and proper following and mercy. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment. We're going to hear some more about material attachment, becoming free from material attachment. Attain steadiness in self-realization, nishtha, and acquires a taste for hearing. So before the taste for hearing, there isn't taste for hearing. But it's accepted with faith that will get you there under proper guidance, etc. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. And then real love of God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. So that's the sequence. And it, the beginning is a preliminary desire for self-realization, taking up the nine processes of bhakti with faith in the apurusheya shabda, and not too much attachment or detachment from affinity for material pleasure. So here's, again, it's Rupa Goswami's writing, same section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When one is not too attached to or detached from this material world, and by some good fortune develops faith in the service of Krishna's lotus feet, starting with his name, and his name has feet too, because his name is a person. So faith in the service of Krishna's lotus feet, he is considered to possess the adhikar for Shuddha Bhakti. Now this is directly Krishna speaking in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami is referencing it. So this is the beginning maturing. But this preliminary faith in apurusheya shabda carries one to this stage. Now, this is the adhikar for Shuddha Bhakti. Not too much attached or detached. So the explanation is, too much attached is the materialist and too much detached is the impersonalist. Out of fear. So the devotee is engaging objects of the senses in the service of the master of the senses through their senses. Not too much attached, not too much detached. That's an adhikara, a qualification for Shuddha Bhakti. And, so not too much attached, detached, and by some good fortune, that's a mystery, by some good fortune, develops faith in the service of Krishna's lotus feet. Now, service of Krishna's lotus feet is absolutely natural for us. It's who we are. And our relationship with Krishna is very, very natural. It's as forgotten. But faith, as we're doing this and that and the other thing, faith in service to the lotus feet of Krishna. Here's another reference that's from Krishna's words in Uddhava Gita, he uses this word jata shraddha. Jata shraddha means awakened faith. And here's the BBT translation of this verse. Sri Krishna says to Uddhava, my devotees who have developed faith, that's jata shraddha, in hearing the narrations of my pastimes, remain detached from fruitive activities and try to accept the objects of the senses just enough to maintain their lives, knowing well that sense enjoyment leads to a miserable result. Now, this is very similar to the adhikar, or the qualification for shuddha bhakti. We're not there yet, but one can be on the path there if this somehow faith awakens in hearing the narrations about Krishna, Krishna's name, form, pastimes. Namadi means all those things, exactly as in Prabhupada's translation that we read. So that's why we're here, Festival of the Holy Name, to nourish, nurture, further develop that faith in these narrations, including these nice teachings. Still enduring, this is the same section to Uddhava, still enduring the reactions to their previous karma and endeavoring to become free from the cycle of the pleasant and unpleasant results which arise from such activities, they sincerely regret those fruitive activities and silently condemn them. Now, it's a little bit of a mystery, or perhaps even a contradiction, to say devotees have karma because the teachings of bhakti is bhakti has the power to release one, free one from karma. Karma can't stand where bhakti is there. And so rather, for devotees, when there's some untoward circumstance, some misfortune, it's not exactly karma. But there may be some residual tendency due to previous involvement in matter, and Krishna's helping one get beyond that from within and by circumstance to guide that jiva to the exclusive shelter of Krishna position. That's happiness that this yoga studio owner. I was being careful because she's new. And she had some faith. So it's important when you're nurturing faith in others, don't overwhelm them. Little by little. So what I said to her was these two things. What's the next step? Know yourself. Two things. Study Bhagavad Gita under somebody that knows Bhagavad Gita. And the second is, 6 months ago, you asked for some instruction from me, and after I inquired from you, I said, you're a Buddhist. Become a vegetarian. Now I understand you've almost become vegetarian. So now, become squeaky clean vegetarian. And you want to know what's next after that? Yes. Offer your food to Krishna. But, that's coming attractions. Now just focus on become squeaky clean vegetarian. And then she paused and said, but for so many years I've been worshiping Buddha. Should I offer to Buddha, offer to Krishna? I was in a dilemma. I said, you worry about that when you get there. you know, who is Buddha? According to the Bhagavatam, Buddha is an expansion of Krishna. Does Buddha say, offer your food to me? Krishna says, offer your food to me. So you can give it some thought, but, you know, wait till you get there. But that's, you know, just like left it wide open. She's still hovering on, should I offer? So she started offering to both Buddha and Krishna. And studying Bhagavad Gita with somebody that knows Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, really involved in her business, because she's a business lady. So it's like, you know, slow. But inside, there's a light. There's a light that's on. And so a preliminary desire for self-realization is there. And just little by little, with relationships that are respecting her and her little by little growth and involved into the material energy. So, enduring reactions to previous karma and endeavoring to become free from the cycle of the pleasant and unpleasant results which arise from such activities, they sincerely regret those, the past ones, and perhaps even the current involvements in fruitive. Fruitive activity means not with the intention of pleasing Krishna. And a devotee can, you know, toggle or vacillate back and forth between doing what you do for Krishna and then doing your secular duties because that's the mindset that we're accustomed to, and then toggling back to struggling to try to do it for Krishna and so forth, back and forth. Turn the light on, turn the light off, turn the light on, turn the light down, turn the light up, turn it brighter. Our material tendencies are very strong, so one has to be determined and continue with faith. So there's the previous lifetime. Previous lifetimes don't generate new karma, but they're the fruits of karma. And then we come eventually to the human form, and then we have choices, and we have reactions for our past activities. That we just took care of our past karma. They simply tolerate the reactions. This is Krishna to Uddhava. They simply tolerate the reactions of those activities while simultaneously remaining engaged in my bhajan. With firm faith and resolve. That's the intermediate stage. In the beginning stage, faith is soft and pliable. But in the intermediate stage, that's this one, it's those who have developed some faith in the hearing of topics about Krishna and his name, etc. This is now back to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Rupa Goswami, same idea discussed by him. The vairagya of that person who employs objects suitable for devotional development while remaining detached from them is said to be suitable for bhakti. The objects should be persistently related to Krishna. It's a nice translation of yukta vairagya. So appropriate detachment. Not the too much, not the too little, but the appropriate detachment. And different persons are going to have a different appropriateness. And even as an individual, at different times, it's going to be more appropriate. It's going to move different times and circumstances in our life. But if the light's on, if we want self-realization, we want to know who we really are, and we want to know who Krishna really is, this Atakri Krishna Namadi, then we can move there. And Krishna will see and reveal as he chooses. So this is our Krishna connection through, of course, the picture here is showing japa, but any form of sound vibration come from this opurusheya source, and it connects us to that source. So that's what we're doing when we're having the festival of the holy name. Japa on Sunday, we'll have half the day dedicated just to absorption in chanting the holy name through japa. And between now and then, many activities to help us in engage in hearing and absorption in a purusheya shabda of different sources and varieties. And then we can go back to Godhead. From this material condition to the spiritual condition. To cover the easy journey to other planets. In the early days, that was the cover. So that's the morning topic in the beginning. And to reconnect with that beginning. What existed before all this existed and how to reconnect with all of that. Do we have the microphone somewhere? He's got the microphone. Any discussion?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. My question was that, like most of the people, they have the basic ingredients like...
Most of what?
The people.
Most of the... Speak slowly. Most of the people.
Have the basic ingredients like Shraddha. Mostly in India, they are faithful. They are visiting the temple. They have a pious or spiritual atmosphere is there.
Sure. Punyabhumi.
And they know that, most of them know that I am not this body.
Well.
But but still...
They know the message, but they don't know that they're not this body.
Yes.
Excuse me.
But still, they don't even try for spiritual realization. So what is the obstacle? What is stopping us?
The obstacle is attachment to the bodily conception. And along with the bodily conception is be the enjoyer of the body. And it's right in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. The piety has a purpose. Pious merit. What's the purpose of pious merit? To enjoy. To prosper. And what's the purpose of beyond that is go to heaven. It's the path to enjoyment in this life and the path to heaven. And Krishna says most people think there's nothing more than this. So they have an idea that they're not this body because they're going to go to the good place. That's what goes to the good place. So I live my life with piety in this lifetime so I can prosper. And go to the good place. Get an upgrade. I mean, go to heaven. And it's not just in India. There's other places that people have some sense of... I mean, it's deteriorating a lot, shockingly. But there are some people that have the culture of piety. Good conduct, and there's a consequence for that. You become happy and you prosper. It's universal.
Okay.
Bodily conception and being the enjoyer of the body and the fruits of the piety through the senses. Yes.
Maharaj, one of the qualities for Adhara Shraddha were being not too attached to the material world, nor being... Material enjoyment, nor being too detached. And I was just reflecting that this seems to be an essential quality throughout the process. In the beginning, later on also to maintain our spiritual practice. I was wondering if you could elaborate on this principle a little bit. What does it practically
mean? Which principle?
This principle of not being too attached to material enjoyment, nor being too detached. And how do we maintain that mood as we progress in our Krishna consciousness?
Well, you know, we're unsteady. So you can maintain the mood by becoming steady. And the standing in between us and being steady is the impurities of our heart. So that's why we're unsteady. But it's a principle. So what's driving the principle is this preliminary desire to know who I am. Now, what happens commonly is that initial, I want to know who I am, gets covered over by stuff, you know, the stuff in the heart. We go over here and go over there and go over, you know, circumstance, we just get absorbed in fruitiveness of trying to fix a problem or take advantage of an opportunity, or, you know, we're everywhere else but the initial preliminary desire. It's a conditioned tendency. And then association with persons that have the capacity to transmit, that means Purusheya Shabda, you know, spiritually elevated persons is the language of that translation. So we keep in the association of such persons, and in the association, why we've come together for this function. These are all persons who, on the 4th of July, aren't off having barbecue or whatever other people are doing on the 4th of July. You know, the plane coming here, there's like all this conversation of what people are going to do, because it was July 3rd, I was traveling, and, you know, yeah, da-da-da-da-da, with their family, friends, relatives, and, you know, the plan for 4th of July. So here we are with a purpose. And the hearing is, and the kirtan, and the deity worship, and the everything, prasadam, is to help nourish that in the association of like-minded persons. So those are how to help stay on the path and keep reminding ourselves and be in the association of persons who will tap us on the shoulder and say, remember the purpose. Don't forget the purpose. Here's some practical considerations for the thing that your mind is distracted by, but don't forget the purpose. It's not just to fix that problem or take advantage of that opportunity. It's self-realization, and that means realization of Krishna, etc. So sadasanga. And, as it was stated, faith in that sound vibration. Nurture, do those things that will nurture that faith as much as you can. And then we're distracted. So we have to bring the mind back. So those are some to get to the stage of steady from unsteady. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj, the Jata Shraddha verse that was shown from the 11th canto, 20th chapter, the translation was something I've never seen before. The Srimad Bhagavatam translation is distinct from that one.
Yes, it is.
So I looked it up, and it was from Bhakti Tattva Viveka, I think, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing. I had two questions from the translation that I wanted to ask. One is because I often refer to that verse, and it's kind of like a guiding light for me.
Speak slowly. I got it. Just speak slowly.
So the part of pleasant, the person, the translation said that the person is, they condemn or silently condemn the fruit of activities that they've done in the past. Those fruit of activities have resulted in both pleasant and unpleasant reactions.
Because there's pious fruit of activities, and there's impious fruit of activities. That's the pleasant, and then the unpleasant.
It's very easy to condemn the reaction to unpleasant, but it's...
That's because it gets back to Harisham's question, and that is, we have a tendency to be the enjoyer. That's the unsteadiness, and it brings misery. But while it looks good, so one should be cautious, not too much, and that ballast or the balancing point is accept. In dedication to Krishna's service, what's necessary, and not be enamored by too much or that which is other than what's necessary. And you dedicate the surplus to Krishna's service directly, and the part that you accept that's dedicated to Krishna's service also. So not delighted, elated, when there's success or there's good fortune or there's the fruits of piety, or vice versa. Not too much attached. And so there's appropriate attachment and appropriate detachment. What's the appropriate attachment? I mean, you're a householder. You have a wife and two lovely boys. And you say, detached. You wouldn't be a very good householder. There has to be some appropriate, but not too much. They're lovely boys, and they're like, wow. So you're happy that they're, wow. Don't forget that the purpose behind becoming a father is to deliver those souls to Krishna. So celebrate over there. And that brings the detachment from the their Vridanga playing and sloka reciting and all those other nice things that devotee kids like to do. That's the ballast, or the balancing point is that which is for Krishna's pleasure. That's how it works. Not too much. Appropriate. Appropriate attachment, appropriate detachment, not too much on either side.
Marjan, another question from that.
Yeah.
So the other question from that translation that I had was the prefix or the adverb, or I'm sorry, I don't know the term, but it's a silent condemnation. So what is silent condemnation?
How internal. It's the internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness. That means they don't go, I'm a garbage person and say it over and over again to people, and that's pseudo. On both sides, one doesn't boast about, I got this realization. One doesn't advertise, I'm the most fallen. Silently is an internal. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't express it to anybody, your intimate circle of people, when you're sharing your heart. But you don't, wear it. Show a flag. I'm successful. I'm garbage. Over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So there are 9 processes of devotional services, like Shravanam, Ketanam.
Yes.
So out of this 9 process, some are naturally relishable and some are, it's not so natural to be relishable. It takes
fine
time,
no problem,
practice. So in able to complete the devotional service, do we need to go through all the 9 processes, or
no,
is it fine to
No? You need to become very strong in hearing and chanting.
Okay, of all, we have to be...
Those are the most important. And of the two, according to Jiva Goswami, it's chanting. I mean, chanting follows from proper hearing. But the demonstration of having properly heard is chanting, making that sound vibration. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Someone's going to pass the microphone. You want to... Oh,
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I didn't see your hand. Yeah. Go ahead.
You mentioned like Atta Sri Krishna Namadi, like chanting and other process of devotional service.
Yes.
Cannot be perceived by material senses.
Yes.
But we use our material senses to do...
Well, of course we do. But they become spiritualized. But until they become spiritualized, they can't realize the transcendental nature of Namadi. They become spiritualized. Does that answer your question? Okay. Could you stand up? Stand up and bring the microphone over here. Bring the microphone over here. Thank you. Stand by. Just be the runner.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for connecting us to the beginning. I have a question regarding that Jata Shraddha.
The Jata Shraddha verse.
Yeah, Jata Shraddha verse. I refer to that probably on a weekly basis. That's such a hope-giving verse. One particular thing for me, the second verse of that, it says, Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalur dhrida nishchaya. Mam prita, with attachment.
I missed it. Do it again.
Yeah,
slowly.
The second verse says, Mam Prita.
The second verse.
Yeah.
Second half of that verse?
Yeah, 27 and 28.
Okay.
So it says the determination and attachment to me. Somehow I feel...
Determination and attachment or detachment?
Attachment to me, Krishna.
Attachment to Krishna.
Yeah.
Determination and attachment to Krishna. Result.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
So those two aspects, I feel, I struggle a little bit.
Welcome. lots of company.
I feel particularly, I understand and I repent. I keep engaging in chanting and hearing. But I feel there is a component of indifference or apathy. The eagerness or that attachment is missing, Maharaj.
So now... Mm-hmm. You're in the transition stage. We're going to speak about that while we're here. The liminal space, we're going to speak about it. It feels uncomfortable between, you know, being here and there and neither here nor there. Welcome. So the operative principle is faith in the Purusha Shabda. It'll get you there. So you put both feet there. And, you know, there's hesitancy because I'm feeling uncomfortable. And I, you know, our faith is not as matured as it could be, should be, would be. Determination is not so strong. Our attachment to Krishna is not so strong. So we're in that space. Look around the room and, you know, see if there's anybody else in that space. We're all in that space. It's not a lonely struggle. It doesn't, you know, it's not that misery loves company, but, you know, through association with others who are, have that faith, we can keep going. And keep going. One little step. One little step. One little step. Okay. Subal? Yes, but Subal? And two more questions, we're going to end because of time.
Guru Maharaj, in the mention of tolerating the effects of one's karma and continue engage in devotional service that in the instructions of Krishna to Uddhava that you quoted, I always have this anxiety and concern that to distinguish if I'm being tolerating.
If you're doing what?
If I'm tolerating.
Cultivating?
Tolerating.
Tolerating, okay.
The effects, you know, my particular karma or my particular body condition and continue my devotional service, or if I'm being complacent. So this, to be able to recognize that I'm actually doing what Krishna instructs.
It's easy. I mean, in principle, it's easy. You act for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the principle. So complacency isn't acting for the pleasure of Krishna. So what's for the pleasure of Krishna? We don't over-endeavor. Let's just take, you know, because you mentioned your health condition. You know, it's been with you for some time without going into it. And are you being complacent, or are you being, you know, being excessive? So it's for the pleasure. So you make the endeavor, and you're trying different resources, some of this and some of that, and you're applying it. And then, you know, it's not, the pain has gone away. Yeah, so you tolerate that pain that hasn't gone away while you're making some reasonable, not excessive, too much attached effort. You're tolerating the pain. What are you going to do? Yadi. So the do is to go beyond the temporary into, so that's the principle. Connect with Krishna's pleasure. And you, yes, you have to periodically refine, step back, do some introspection. Am I being complacent, or am I going the other direction? Am I being excessive? Am I acting for Krishna's pleasure? Is it appropriate? So the appropriate detachment, appropriate attachment for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the refinement, realignment. And, you know, similar to her question, it's an uncomfortable space. We keep refining and reevaluating as we go along, you know, with one purpose, pleasing Krishna. Last question. Raise your hand, please.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. You mentioned that the nine processes of bhakti begin with preliminary faith in the name.
Beginning with?
The preliminary name. Preliminary faith in the name.
Yeah.
So my question is, so is chanting...
Preliminary faith in Apurusheya Shabda. Go ahead.
My question is, the nine processes also include the chanting. So is chanting the precursor or the... precursor to all the nine other eight processes of devotional service?
Yes, Shravanam Kirtanam. Two out of nine. But I said it. Jiva Goswami writes in Bhakti Sandarbha, they're all resting on Kirtanam. But Kirtanam, he explains, is made possible. Proper Kirtanam is made possible by proper Shravanam. So you can say both, or you can say Kirtanam. You can say both, or Kirtanam, whichever you like. And then the other seven are resting upon those two. Or the other eight are resting upon that one. Both are... Does that answer your question?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki...